of Galatians 6, the 6 to 9. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. This is the word of God.
Welcome, Estelle. Good to see you. I want you to just turn to the person next to you, if you can, if you want to, and give them a big Sunday smile. Look at the sun, he's up there. So we need to give each other a gift of smile, that God is smiling down on us. We serve a wonderful God who brings us joy, and it is his delight to see that his children and his people grow and enjoy the fruit and the benefit of what Jesus has done. And so there is no verse, I think, that says you shall be grumpy this morning. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I have a guest that I'm going to invite later, but I remember when I was young in Fiji, we have lots of mangoes trees. I mean, mangoes everywhere, all kinds, all shapes, and I'm sure also in Africa, Madagascar, Indonesia, yeah, we can have a competition here. Mango is a very special fruit for me. I love it. It's probably the best fruit it's my favorite fruit. During mango season back at home in the village, it is a tradition and a habit for the kids. Early in the morning, probably 5 o'clock, we will wait and listen. Then you can hear this incredible, beautiful sound just falling on your roof. Doosh, 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 one by one, all morning through. And as kids, we would run outside and pick up these beautiful, fresh mangoes. Oh, so delicious. And the joy of it, the beauty, the taste that come from these mangoes are just incredible. So in here, I miss those fresh mangoes, because you got to go to the international shop and buy mangoes that's been there for a few weeks and few months, been on the ship. There's nothing compared to the freshness that... Sunripe, right there. And beautiful sizes, and the harvest is just wonderful. And it comes during Christmas season. That's the best part of it. But there's something that is connected to us with this fruit, because it symbolizes season, it symbolizes a transition of time, and it symbolizes us preparing for a new season that is coming, because this time of harvest only lasts for a few months. So when it's ripe and ready, we enjoy the fruit and we get ready for cyclone season. So throughout the Bible, God gave us his analogy from using agriculture of ancient time to speak of his blessing and also speak to us of his discipline. I had a privilege to, we'll come back there, to talk to one of the experts in agriculture yesterday. So I'm going to invite this person to come up and share with us some of the key things about planting, sowing, and harvest. Let's welcome Shell. Shell Dawa. I asked him to give me three key important factors about planting. So,
yeah, I would say the first thing, if you are going to plant, you have to prepare the soil. And rice growing experts in Madagascar, they said, if you do a good work preparing your field before planting the rice, you can increase the harvest by 40% just by doing the right things. And it means plowing and
hold on a second. Yeah. What was that? Plowing. We all know what plowing is, yeah?
Yeah. So you turn the weeds and the oil, old grass, you turn it down into the soil so it can be fertilizer for the plants growing. And a good plowing, it also helps to keep the weeds away.
Okay. Weeds.
Weeds, yes, that will come later. And to do a good work, you need strong animals or a tractor or strong hands. This is knowledge that is old in the Bible, in the Proverbs. They say, if you have strong oxen, you will have a bountiful harvest. So, when things start to grow, the weeds will come and try to take the part of the nutrition in the soil, the fertilizer you have put out. The weeds will steal. Steal from the harvest you want. So to keep the weeds away, that's important. And also to know when to harvest your crop, that's also important, the timing. And you need good weather to be blessed by the Lord, to have not have rain when you're harvesting potatoes here in Norway, that's important. And it can sometimes be difficult. So a good timing, so that you are ready, you have your machines ready when the weather is okay and the harvest is ripe. That's important.
Thank you. Thank you, Shell. This quarter, we've been talking about growth. We use some of the analogy of planting, sowing, and how important it is for us to understand some of the principles of God in our growth. When I plant a seed of mango, I don't just get one mango. Thousands of mangoes from one seed. Could feed the whole entire village. The law of sowing is that we reap more than what we sow. If you want to change what you harvest, then you're going to change what you're sowing. Because whatever we sow, we are going to reap. All of us are sowing one way or the other, both spiritually, in what we do, in our prayers, in what we say. That many of us are sitting here today because of what we've been sowing. Good seed. We talk about weed. We're going to go there later on. So we sow in our lives. And in Galatians, speaking about specifically about giving. That we give out, not out of our necessities, that we have a lot to give, but we give out of the generosity and the goodness of God's work in our lives. That has nothing to do with our necessities. Remember when the poor woman and the rich man came, Jesus was there. The rich man gave a lot of money and the poor lady gave only a few. And he asked his disciples, so which one of these two gives more? The disciples were looking at the quantity of what others they've given. And then Jesus said, no, this woman has given much because he gave everything. She gave everything that he has. What we sow in us is what we are going to give out. So it's important for us to understand that this is a non-negotiable principles of God. That I remember in my life growing up, it's not been easy. There are a lot of weeds that has been sown in my life. And as I become a Christian and putting my faith in God, all this truth about God, I have to go out and weed out those weeds so that what God has sown in us through his words, through others' encouragement and affirmation as a young man begin to grow and blossom, that I not only can harvest and experience the goodness of God, but I will pass on to my son and my daughters the harvest that I have experienced and sow into their lives. We sow in our own lives, others have sown into us. And also for us as a church, we are corporately sowing into the spiritual growth of this church. What are we sowing? How are we sowing in one another's lives? I remember in 2004, a tribe in Fiji, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, we have a missionary that came to Fiji. I think I've shared this story here before. And there was one particular tribe that slain this Wesleyan missionary from Sussex, England. Got killed. And over the years, the generations and the descendants of those that slaughtered this missionary have suffered tremendous barrenness in their land. So if you go to that village, you'll see just barren. Nothing grows there. Well, we have some stuff, but it's nothing that they can cultivate and live from. So over the years, the elders of this tribe, they've been doing a lot of soul searching and realize that some of the struggle that they have goes back to an undealt with issue that has been sown a few hundred years ago. So in 2004, the descendant of this missionary, Reverend Thomas Baker, was one of our hero in the history of mission in Fiji. His descendant came face to face with the descendants of the tribe that slay their great-grandfather. And then the chief of this particular tribe, it was an incredible event that took place in my country. The chief of this tribe came over and asked for forgiveness to the descendant of Reverend Thomas Baker. And the whole tribe, they've been preparing and humbling themselves in prayer and reconciliation and remorse, praying repentance of what the forefathers have done. And now they're feeling the fruit of what that has been sown in the past, that the new generation became the recipient of this barrenness. So he came and he brought his people and ask for forgiveness to the descendant of the missionary. And it's amazing because you have the British ambassador that was there also representing the nation of England. And their response was, we forgive you, we accept your apology, we forgive you, and we release you. In that moment, there was something broke. And for the first time, this particular group of people began to taste and experience the freedom of release and forgiveness that has been locked into throughout history because of what happened. That's for me, it signifies an incredible illustration of the power and how real it is, this principle, God's principle of sowing and reaping, that whatever we sow, we are going to harvest. Amen? And the challenge for us, not only as Christians, but as brothers and sisters, as family of SIC, that we will reevaluate how we are sowing into the life of SIC. What seed are we sowing? What seed, what harvest are we looking forward to as we sow now? It may sound difficult, it may look difficult, but we are sowing every time when we pray, in our tears, in our supplication, in our repentance and humility, that we are expecting God to do what he wants to do in our midst, to be an effective community here in this nation. Amen. And I believe that we all have that prayer with us. I like the steps that Shell was sharing with us. This principle of sowing and reaping, plowing and preparing the field is part of it. We are all part of this preparation. Jeremiah chapter 4:3, he said, do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Jerusalem. Breaking up the fallow ground. Repentance, humility has always been an emblem of plowing and breaking this part of our hearts so that God's truth can come and grow successfully, that we can bear the fruit that he intended for us. What are we sowing? Shell also talks about thorns and weeds, how important it is to get rid of these weeds because they rob away the nutrition that is supposed to be implemented into the new plant. What are the weeds that is robbing away our joy in our relationship? What is it that stands in a way that becomes an obstacle and a negative influence to keep us at bay from bearing and growing in God and producing the fruit that he wants us to produce? Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, he said, break up your fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness and blessings on us. I believe all of us want to experience that. For it has implication in your work, in your marriage life, every aspect of our lives. We are sowing. My wife, she's from this beautiful country of Norway. And being cross-cultural marriage is not always easy. And we recognize that. And we made every effort to sow God's seed into our life, into our family. There's a lot of humility from our side. There's a lot of choosing to learn. There's a lot of choosing to lay down my rights of being right. There's a lot of choosing for me to humble and lay down my Fijian-ness. And so with her. So we can see God's incredible fruit blossom in our family. That our culture is influenced by godliness and righteousness. That our children will benefit from it. I have to be very careful. From the first time we got married, we've known each other for a long time. In what I say, that things that I say, am I planting weeds in this beautiful heart? Sometimes I have to go and remove this weed in my heart's heart and water this beautiful flower so she can blossom into the woman God has intended her to be. So for all of us, what are the seeds? What are the weed? What do we want to harvest? Amen? We have a heart. I believe in SIC. I believe in the purpose of SIC. I believe in God's incredible purpose for SIC. But in each and every one of us, we sow together what God wants us to sow into this community, into each other's lives, into each other's family. Words of encouragement, words of affirmation. On the 15th of this month, we're going to talk about what kind of seed do we need to invest in. So today we'll look at the whole principle of sowing and reaping and how we as a family can look at each other and say to ourselves, how can I sow? How can I encourage my brother? How can I encourage my sister? How can I change the way I talk, the way I think about others? What can I do to identify these weeds I need to rip out? They don't belong here. They don't belong in the life of our family. They don't belong in our hearts as individual. And they don't belong in the life of our community of SIC. If we want to see harvest, it'll take patience because God is the one that's bringing growth. Amen? When my daughter was born, and I know age is going, and I would jokingly said to my daughter, and I would carry her, hurry up, grow up quickly so we can hang out together. We can go and have ice cream and play together. I cannot influence, we cannot manipulate the process of growing. We cannot force the process of growing. We need to let God do it. Trust him. He is the one that brings growth in our midst. Yeah? Many of us, we may see that grows in quantity, but I really believe that God is coming deep inside our hearts that grow inside out. And that's what attracts people here. That's what attracts people to the church, because we have become real with God. And there's transformation that is happening. There is reconciliation happening among the body of Christ. Oh, what is so attractive about SIC? I need to go and see what's going on. If we want to change the harvest, let's change how we are sowing. And God have wonderful, wonderful harvest ready for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we want